Welcome to The Frequency of Courage, the podcast that ignites your inner fire and propels you to new heights of bravery and inspiration.
I'm starting this podcast because I feel like we need more stories out in the universe that are inspiring and giving people hope. And if I can help push people along to be courageous and brave with their lives, I think it's going to make a better world for all of us. I chose the title Frequency of Courage because, first of all, I love the word courage. And it aligns with love very much. And it's the opposite of hate and fear. And I think when we lean in to be courageous, that's where change can actually happen. That's where there's a way of building relationships. There's understanding. There's education. But also, when in darkness, I think courageous acts is what gets us out of that and into the light. My hope for this podcast is that it really inspires people and it brings them joy. There's going to definitely be some tears. I think I want people to get in touch with their vulnerable, authentic selves and look at their lives and where could they show up and be courageous? Or what are they sitting back not doing that could actually be a gift to the world? And one of the things that I've had to recognize, which is also terrifying doing this podcast, is that I used to be behind the camera and producing, but I loved the storytelling. And instead of joining someone else's platform, I wanted to actually create my own and do it my way and talk about the things that they might not be popular topics. So my hope for this podcast is that people walk away inspired. It might be some deeper topics, but it's definitely one where I think people will be moved into action, inspired action, and be more vulnerable in their lives. The format of the show, I think there's going to be solo episodes where I can deep dive into my experiences and provide some tangible tips for people to be courageous. But I'm really excited about some of the guests that I've already lined up that are going to be joining the show, people that have overcome tremendous adversity, whether they were refugees or Pulitzer Prize winning journalists. There's people that have inspired me that are a part of my network. And that's part of starting this podcast, was looking at who's been a part of my life and my journey that have inspired me to show up in my most authentic way. And then I don't want to keep them hidden either. And I think where they might have their profession or their journey, whether they run a foundation and they're helping lives, there's also another side of them and what's really made them courageous, who's inspired them. And I think that's the ripple effect when we start to share those stories and really get to know people. I had to do a lot of introspection, but I really recognize it's time to start claiming my own gifts, which is also an act of courage. And I've shown up in my life incredibly courageous when there have been very terrifying moments. I think that courage allowed me to overcome the fear or channel it for the bigger purpose. So one of the most noteworthy ways that I'm courageous has been over the past 3 years, where I actually went on record against the Washington Commanders former owner, Dan Snyder, and the toxic culture that he led, the NFL involvement. There were multiple investigations, including Congress and multiple law firms. The FBI is still involved. There's a tremendous amount to that story of people, not just me, that were able to come forward and do remarkable things, especially, you know, in the face of private investigators, in the face of, you know, very well-funded attorneys. And we were a grassroots movement working with the National Women's Law Center, Lisa Banks and Deborah Katz. These are lawyers that represented, you know, some of Harvey Weinstein's clients, for example, or Dr. Ford with the Supreme Court Judge Kavanaugh. So it's a bit surreal that somehow I had these dreams of wanting to be an investigative journalist. All of a sudden, my life became this story and helping push other people along. I think one common thread, if I recognize it, is from the beginning when the story popped off, was just bringing more people along the way that ultimately led us to Jason Friedman, a man that came forward. He had no reason to do that. And he came forward talking about some financial impropriety information. And also by him coming forward, naturally, it got a lot more attention. Unfortunately, money seems to matter a little bit more than the treatment of women, and I'm here to help change that. And then on top of that, the last few years, I've leaned into myself, and I did the search for my biological family, which is also pretty pretty scary. The story there is I started my search in 2009. Ironically, I was still working at the then Washington Redskins when I started that search back in 2009. And for some reason, I felt like I would be too late. And I don't know why. And I've learned to trust my intuition now and the timing in my life. And turns out my biological mom had passed away in 2009. And I learned that in 2010. And from there, I was thinking, wow, there's a reason why this has happened. I learned along the way that mental health is definitely an issue of that situation. So I've leaned into my thoughts around mental health as well and feeling like sometimes mental health might be unprocessed trauma or unprocessed, how are we dealing with life? And I think that's also a courageous thing. So often we mask how we're dealing with life. And by being courageous and leaning in and feeling the feelings, I think we can overcome a lot. So to fast forward down in Austin during the pandemic, when I'm by myself in my apartment on Amazon, you know, shopping for gifts for people, I end up seeing the 23andMe kit. And I'm like, why didn't I do this a long time ago? I had done Ancestry. And by the way, there's a first degree connection on there, but that person has not responded to me, which is totally fine. And I recommend anybody doing this, do not have expectations for anybody. You might be a surprise to some people as well. So anyway, I do the 23andMe and come February of 2023, all of a sudden I see my tree and it has two first degree connections, two biological cousins. So I sent this awkward note. I had tried to put a little bit of flavor of sense of humor in there of, so this might be the most awkward note. Maybe one of your parents knows about me or whatnot. And I think I sent that around 11 o'clock at night. And by 7 in the morning, I had two inboxes literally with the answers that I had wondered about for 30 years of my life. And I am so acutely aware that this is a rare situation. And it's also a rare situation that they not only have thought of me, but loved me my entire life. And the last year I've spent going around the country meeting my deceased biological mom's family. And from last 4th of July, I'm at the beach in Delaware hanging out with my biological uncle, happened to be a journalist. The nature versus nurture is pretty fascinating on this one. And I'm sitting in their backyard having cake and watching, you know, setting off the fireworks. And it's one of my cousin's 45th birthdays that happened to be in town from Chicago. So the synchronicities that happened there too have been amazing. So it's also been a journey of like processing where I always wondered what my bio mom looked like. They're all like, go look in the mirror. And so I'm also seeing it from their lens of them processing and how, you know, they might feel like they're seeing a ghost right now. And the journey of processing and hearing their story and their side of things. And it's been a really beautiful one. One of the most amazing parts of this journey was in November around, instead of going back to Virginia to be with my family for Thanksgiving, I actually took my mom with me. By the way, my parents are incredible. They adopted three children. None of us are biologically related. So I think it's just a remarkable thing to do. And my mom did the road trip with me down to my biological aunt's house. We had lunch. It was my biological aunt and my cousins. We went out for lunch with my mom. And then we actually went over to one of my cousin's houses. And one of the most magnificent moments in my life, and I don't know what's to come. I have to believe there's going to be a competitive moment in my life, but to see my mom literally and figuratively get flowers from my biological family, thanking her. And my mom doesn't want the attention. She was so worried. What should I wear? She's going to be mad I'm talking about this right now, but what should I wear going down to visit them? And I was like, Mom, they love you. You raised me. They love you. They don't care what you're wearing. You could show up with a bag on. They do not care. And so it was such a moving moment. And I feel so lucky because I'm the youngest of the six very Irish cousins. And I'm learning that they're like siblings. And so it's been fun getting to know them and also feeling like I was baby Emily. My birth name was Emily Connor. And it's interesting because I kind of wondered, I'm like, well, that's a very Irish name. So it's been a really fun journey, but my hope with this is I could be a resource to people that are either considering giving up a child or adopting a child. And for the record, I'm a pro-choice person, and I have gone through a wave of thoughts around this where I'm like, I'm very lucky that I'm alive and I'm here today. Yet it was totally in my bio mom's right to decide what was right for her, and she chose to give me up for adoption. So I'm really hopeful that me being very honest about that story and the process of the search and feeling like, oh my gosh, like I wish I could have met her. But now I think there's timing in life and trusting in that timing. And it's gotten to the point in 1 year, I even did a road trip with one of the cousins, you know, and I'm like embedded in there, and I'm like, invite me to the things. I want to be a part. And I see a future where you talk about blended families and you see these different things. I feel like I'm going to be able to bring my families together. And I also believe in the concept of chosen family too. So friends, one of my dear friends actually went to the trip to the beach house with me. And I just love the fact that everybody together and, you know, they're all becoming friends too. So it's been really, really amazing. And I feel like these are the types of stories that could give people hope and understanding. And there's definitely been a waves of emotions, whether I was worried about how are my parents going to feel about this? I don't want my mom to worry. Like, she is my mom. She raised me. But I understand too, you know, there's things in her personal life that there was insecurity and there might have been some other issues for her and my dad. But I think I've helped also show her, like, love is abundant. It's not scarcity. It's not choosing, or it's bringing it all together and having love that's the type of world I want to see, where it's thank you. And I'm just very lucky that there's a relationship building. And I understand some people, I've told, even in this situation, I've told my biological family, like, if this gets too weird or you don't want to, like, I respect it. If someone doesn't want to get to know me, I don't care. I mean, I'd love to meet anybody and everybody, and I'm open arms to that, but I have no expectation. It's been really fascinating. And in this journey of this podcast, I do want to share stories of the nature versus nurture. It's very fascinating. The storytelling, there's journalists that are all on my maternal side. And I'm like, this is so cool. I think there's different facets of courage, whether it's your personal courage that no one knows. There's the social aspect of courage and professionally how you show up as well. I think the most profound part of courage that I'm hoping anybody could relate to is spending time with yourself and being vulnerable. You don't have to tell the whole world everything. It's your story, but spend time. And for me, journaling has been a big one in terms of the last year and a half of just really thinking through and getting clarity on my feelings and what my values are. And am I living in alignment with values like that professionally? I was also just impacted by a restructure in corporate America in high tech. And it really makes me think about my values, how I want my life to look. And that's very scary. And I've shared with family, you know, I think I'm trying to build a life that's not like the lives I've seen before. And the last year, I've also been a part of Brendan Burchard, who, if you follow the personal development path, he's got a group called Ultra, where it's just a bunch of amazing people doing amazing things. And I think spending time in circles with people that are doing this work, and it starts with yourself. It's not anything external. As I'm worried about, oh, what do I look like on here? I gained weight. I was under a lot of stress. My self-confidence, but it was like, no, the self-worth got corrected over the past few years. Me stepping in and taking up the space and realizing I deserve to be able to take that space up. We all have that space. We all have a story to share. That's the why behind all of this. And when I do go out to Brendan's events, he was having some in LA. Ed Milet is a part of that circle and does some coaching. And it was kind of hard for me to relate to Ed, because if you look at him, he's a super buff guy. He's very, you know, he's a character. But one thing that's always resonated with him is he's like, you're most qualified to help the person that you once were. And that sticks with me. I think about it every day. And I want that impact on someone else. And there's been speakers throughout that have inspired me of, you know, Megan, you have a story. And while some of these themes might be similar, somebody needs to hear it from you and relate to you. So my hope with this is I am going to be bringing people together of different ethnicities and different backgrounds, cultures. So hopefully we're giving space to sharing stories from people that might not look like me, have different life paths. And so that's really my hope and my purpose and my mission is we have to get more positive, inspiring stories about the human experience, because there's moments that are so terrifying. But I think courage, to me, courage is that foundation that allows you to do the brave thing. And the brave thing is showing up here and sitting in this chair as I'm about to cry, because I know it's more important. Thank you for listening to episode 0 of Frequency of Courage. I'm your host, Megan Imbert, and I appreciate you taking the time to listen today. I hope that this inspired you to take your first step to lead a courageous life. Stay tuned for more episodes where I'll have solo episodes along with bringing guests along for this journey. Thank you for tuning into the Frequency of Courage. Please leave a review, share the show, and be courageous today.